15. We're going to read just one verse as we begin this morning, verse number 13, a verse that you're familiar with and is probably a verse that is being read and preached on in more churches this morning than probably any other passage of Scripture today. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. This one verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 13, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said to His disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I'll read it one more time. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, this morning we're so thankful for this place that we have to come, Father, to gather together in the name of our Savior and to worship Him. And Father, we pray again that You would be pleased with all that You see and hear take place in this auditorium this morning. God, we ask You to challenge our hearts today. May we be thankful for the price that's been paid. Father, may we be thankful for the freedom that we have. God, I pray that we would be mindful this morning of the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross as a payment for our sin. Bless Your word to each and every heart. Should there be one today that's come in that does not have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life, they're living without Him, they're living empty, Father, I pray that they would experience and feel Your love this morning for them. And that, God, today would be the day that they would give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Bless, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of the sermons I preach here at Bible Baptist Church would be classified as expository sermons. By expository, we simply mean that we take a passage of Scripture or a book in the Bible, and we go through it one verse at a time. And I believe that is the greatest way to learn our Bibles is through expository preaching. In fact, in Sunday school this morning, we were in Romans chapter 14. Sunday evenings, we're going through 1 Timothy, and we're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. On Wednesday nights, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at adding to our faith virtue and knowledge. And this Wednesday, we'll be adding temperance. And these are all sermons or messages that take a text of Scripture and expound on them. That's where we get expository preaching. Now, on occasion, I will depart from that and preach what is known as topical sermons. Sometimes we pick a topic like the second coming of Christ, or the Bible is the Word of God, and we preach on a topical message which has a little less Bible in it than expository, but still pretty much is Bible-based. This morning I'm going to preach the third kind of sermon, and we call that, I'm not sure it's an official title, we call it springboard preaching. And if that brings to your mind a diving board or a pool board, it's just like that, because you take one spring to get launched, and then you're done. You don't ever come back to the board again. We've read John chapter 15 and verse 13 as our springboard this morning, and now for the next few minutes I want to remind you of what tomorrow is all about. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a day that we stop and consider those who have paid the ultimate price for us to be a free people. It is not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is in November, and that's the day where we honor all those who have served in our military, and it's not that we slight them on Memorial Day, but Memorial Day, more our focus is on those that paid that price, those that gave their lives, those whose blood was shed so that we can maintain the freedom that we have as a nation. Tomorrow morning, all across the country, American flags will be raised to the top of the pole, and then carefully brought back down to half-mast in honor of those who have sacrificed their lives for our freedom. I would like to be there, but at Arlington Cemetery tomorrow in Washington, D.C., there are 280,000 headstones, grave markers of those that have died in service to our country in the military. And tomorrow morning, 1,000 soldiers are going to cover the grounds of those 280,000 markers, and put small American flags in front of every one of those. I get goosebumps just now trying to imagine what that scene would be like to witness and to see that taking place. Then at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, President Trump will lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier in honor of those that have given their lives. At 8 o'clock tomorrow evening on the west lawn of our nation's capital, there will be the National Memorial Day Concert. That's held every evening of Memorial Day, and that's broadcast on television from coast to coast, and everybody can see it in honor of that day that we set aside. But not just the special events at Arlington and the White House and those there, but all across the country tomorrow, parades will be held. All across the country, flags are going to be waved. All around the country, graves will be decorated, those of fallen soldiers, Marines, airmen, and sailors. In cities great and small, we will be paying honor as a nation as we remember those who have fallen. It will be a day of unashamed patriotism. Now, I hope that you're an American patriot this morning, because if you're not, you're not going to like this message. I like American holidays. My favorite holiday, if I had to pick one, would be Thanksgiving, and not just because of the football. My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving because of what it represents and what it stands for. My second favorite holiday I'd have to pick would be the 4th of July, or for you purists, it would be called Independence Day. And I like that holiday for what it represents. Now, those of you that are spiritual giants here, don't judge me this morning. I know you're saying, well, Christmas should be your favorite holiday, you preacher. Easter should be your favorite. I understand that, but I like our American holidays. And I make no apologies for that. The parades, the flags, the patriotic songs, thanking God for our freedom and thanking God for our country. I think you would join me in saying that I've had enough of Hollywood actors who every time their chosen person doesn't win the election, tell us that they're going to move to a foreign country. And I, like you, would like to volunteer to pack their bags for them. And I, like you, would notice that not a one of them has fulfilled their feeble promise to leave the country when the candidate they didn't want won the office of president. And it leads us to wonder, why aren't they leaving? Well, we know why they aren't leaving. The number one reason, it's money. They're not going to make the money anywhere else as they make being as an actor, pretending to be someone else. They're not going to get paid for that in other countries like they do here. They're also not going to have the publicity in other countries that our country so erringly goes out of bounds to give them attention and give them some kind of celebrity status. But they're not going to leave, no matter how many times they complain about it. I'm also sick and tired of pop singers that say that they hate America. When I say pop singers, I know I'm showing my age. But they're not singers. The female pop singers of our day are nothing more than burlesque dancers, backed up by some thumping loud music, and they couldn't hold a note to real singers. The real singers have a voice, and they sing melodies, and they have harmonies that go along with it. That's not today's music. And these that are adored, and these that are worshipped, and these that are glorified because of the ability to do that kind of stuff, and yet turn around and despise the very country that gave them their freedoms, bye-bye. Go wherever it is you want to go. Don't come back. We'll be glad to stamp your visa, and then we'll build a wall while you're gone. I'm tired of a news media that makes it sound like it's evil to be proud of your nation. That patriotism and nationalism is a bad thing. Again, I would say to those, like I say to all the rest of those, if that's your attitude, then go live somewhere that you can be proud of that country. Go live in Russia. If you want to know if they meddled with our politics, go live there and find out. Go live in some European country that's struggling right now. Go live in some third world country. I've been there. I've lived there. And you know what happens when you come back and that plane lands, wherever it lands, in the United States of America? You know what happens 9 times out of 10? You fall down and you kiss the ground when you get back to the United States of America. I believe that every American ought to try to go visit a foreign country and live there for a while. Not go there with a return ticket in your back pocket, because that doesn't give the proper feel of it. But go live the way people live in other countries. I guarantee you'll be thankful when you come back here. And I'm thankful for Memorial Day because it is a day of patriotism. Unashamed, unabashed, flag waving, music playing. Patriotism. I'm tired of politicians who apologize to other nations for America's greatness. I believe in American exceptionalism. And when our politicians get up and apologize for the blessings that our nation has experienced, when they apologize for the prosperity that we have because of our hard work and ingenuity, then I get sick and tired of them. Many of it make it sound like we're the bad guys for not letting other people come in and ruin and destroy our country. Common sense has taken a back seat. Someone said it this way: our government would be great if it weren't for all the politicians. Mark Twain said it this way: patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government when it deserves it. It is a day of patriotism. But not only that, Memorial Day, without a doubt, is a day of sadness. It was July of 2004. My responsibilities had taken me over to Zanesville. I was heading back toward Byesville. I was cutting from Dresden Road, cutting across Taylor Avenue over to Linden Avenue on my way back here. And as I went across Taylor, I noticed two Marines standing at the door of a house with their dress blues on and their white hats folded under their arms. And the minute I saw that, as a former Marine, I knew what was going on. They were there to tell a family that they'd lost a son or a daughter. Now, to compound the sadness of that day for me, I knew the family. Bill and Kathy Godwin lived in that house. I recognized the house. Their daughter Sarah, the brother of Todd, their daughter Sarah was the only one home at the time, and fortunately, knowing them, I turned around. Of course, Sarah is now our daughter-in-law. But I turned around and went back to the house as Sarah was the only one home, and I was there as she called her mom and her dad and informed them that those two Marines were there, and mom and dad came home, and they were told that their son Todd had lost his life over in the Middle East. What a sad time, what a heart-wrenching time is to watch a family that has paid the ultimate price and one of their children going on before them in service for their country. That scene and that sadness has been repeated over and over and over and over again in the almost 250-year history of our nation. I've got a list here on paper, and I don't know that I'll go through them one at a time, but I've got a list here of all the different wars and how many casualties, how many American soldiers were lost in each of these wars, beginning with World War I, where 116,516 Americans gave their lives in the defense of our country. May I say this? We won that war, but we lost. We lost 116 young men, some of them in their teens, most of them in their 20s, some in their 30s. And to imagine a life snuffed out at that age in service for our country on a volunteer basis, we need to be appreciative of the sacrifices that have been made. When I think of 116,000 killed in one war, I think of the football stadium at Ohio State that holds 105,000 capacity. And that the number that was lost in World War I is more than the capacity of the Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio. this fall when you're watching a game on television. And if, I don't know about you, but I'm always astounded at the large crowds that gather into those places. I'm not a crowd person. And when I see the mass of humanity gathered in one little spot like that, when you see that next time, realize that more than that sacrificed their life in World War I for your freedom and mine against some enemies that would desire to destroy us. World War II was supposed to be the war that ended all wars. The United Nations, as you know, was formed shortly after World War II, hopefully as a cure to war, but it's not been successful. You can't fight against human nature. But in World War II, there were almost four times as many casualties as there were in World War I. 405,399 lost their lives in World War II. So that you and I could be free. So that you and I could experience what we've got in this country. I'll not go through the Korea, the Vietnam, the Iraq, and the Afghanistan wars and all the other things that have gone in. But when you add all those up, we come up to 619,300 lives have been given for you and I to have the freedom that we have. It's a day of sadness. I know the common expression is this: freedom isn't free. It costs us something. But I think we need to be mindful on this weekend. We need to be mindful of what it really is that we're honoring, and that is those that have given their lives that we might be free. That number doubles when we consider the most costly war that we've ever had in human lives, and that is the Civil War. Estimates of the Civil War casualties go as high as 750,000 men. I've recently finished a rather large book on Abraham Lincoln. And I've never been a real Civil War buff like many have, but as I read that book and read about the battles that were fought in the Civil War and read the number, just the numbers, 12,000 Union soldiers killed in this battle, 7,000 Confederate at the same place, and this was repeated over and over again, and these were all American young men fighting against each other. What a terrible tragedy and a terrible moment in American history. And yet, folks, it is a moment in American history. And it is something that needs to be remembered. The old expression is, the only thing that we learn from history is that we never learn from history. And if we don't remember the tragedy that was a divided nation at that time, we might again have a divided nation to that extent. We need to remember the Civil War. I don't believe we need to remove the monuments. I don't think we need to take away the Confederate flag. I think we need to use those as instruments to teach our younger generation what happened to our nation that was almost divided in half and almost completely split, and had things gone a different way, how different our life would be today. 750,000 lives taken at that point of our history. You realize that Memorial Day really began at the Civil War. Though Memorial Day was not officially honored till years later under President Lyndon Johnson and declared a national holiday. Back at the Civil War, it was called Decoration Day. And Decoration Day was the time when the ladies, usually the mothers and the wives of fallen soldiers, would go to the cemetery and they would decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers. That began back in 1868 is what I read, or 1865, somewhere back in that Civil War era is when these things actually began. That's part of our American history. We need to teach that to our children, not eliminate it from the books because we don't like some things about it. It's a day of sadness. There's a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow, a lot of tears. We put to rest over 1 million of our countrymen in defense of our country. It's a day of patriotism, and I'm glad for that, but it's a day of sadness. Thirdly, I want to say this, and most of all as we come to tomorrow, it's a day of thankfulness. It's a day of thankfulness. We don't want war. No sane-minded person wants war. We don't want to send our sons and daughters to a battlefield. We don't want to send our grandsons and our granddaughters to a battlefield. We want a world and we want a society and we want a nation that's free from war and free from bloodshed. But at the same time, it's the reality of the world that we live in. We don't want war. We don't want to send them into harm's way. But it is better to fight them over there than it is to fight them over here. And again, if we learned anything during the Civil War era, it was exactly that. That we'd rather fight on foreign soil than fight on home soil. We need not to be lax in our protection of our nation. We need not to be lax in what our military is doing, but we need to fight that war. We're thankful for those that were willing to pay the ultimate price for our freedom. I didn't even mention the Revolutionary War, or as we call it again, the War of Independence. Only 25,000 lives were lost in the War of Independence. But in that time period, 25,000 lost was one of every 20 adult males. Imagine how our congregation would be affected if one of every 20 sacrificed their lives in a war. But that war was fought to provide freedom. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that they paid that price and gave that cost for you and I to have the nation that we have today. No nation has existed like the United States of America. Again, you say, well, I don't like that kind of patriotism. That's too bad. No nation has existed this long with this much freedom for individual people. And the reason we have that freedom is because some people were willing to give their lives, their honor, and everything that they owned, every possession. I am afraid today that if we had to find enough people willing to pay the price for a Revolutionary War as it was back then, we'd never have gotten our independence. Because people today are not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to give up things. They're not willing to put pleasure aside so they can do the things that it costs to get the freedom that we've had. Those that do volunteer, those that do go off to war, and those that do pay that price, we need to be thankful that they're willing to make that sacrifice. Thankful for those that have died to provide our freedom. Thankful for those who have died to protect our freedom. On our prayer list on Wednesday nights, we have a section of those in the military. And we encourage you to pray for them. Pray that they'll not have to go to Afghanistan. Pray that war will not break out again with Iran. Pray that they'll be safe, though they have given themselves to defend us no matter what the cost. We need to be thankful. And then finally, let me say this. Tomorrow is a day of remembrance. That's what Memorial Day is all about. It's a day of remembrance. We live, folks, and I know you understand, we live in a pleasure-driven world. You and I are members, whether we like it or not, of a pleasure-driven society. And most of the things we do are based around what we want to do next. I think the worldly expression is living for the weekend. We're a pleasure-driven world and a pleasure-driven society. And I'm afraid that as we get to this weekend to honor those who have sacrificed and fallen, to too many it's nothing more than an extra day off of work. It's a long weekend, and I like long weekends. But that's not what this weekend's all about. To many it's a time for a cookout or a family get-together, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the purpose of this weekend. Many know Memorial Day weekend because it's the weekend of the Indy 500. And nothing wrong with that. But that's not the purpose of the weekend. Unofficially, Memorial Day is the beginning of the summer. unofficially. Summer, I don't know how they do this, but summer doesn't start till like June 21st. Well, then the kids ought to stay in school. I can say that now that I'm not a kid in school. But though summer officially begins, really, unofficially, it begins on Memorial Day. The pools in the communities open on Memorial Day, and the unofficial end of summer is Labor Day when the pools all close up again. But that's not the purpose of the weekend. For some, Memorial Day weekend is the celebration of the McCallums coming back to Bible Baptist Church. Because they always come down and camp at Salt Fork in the summer, and so we welcome them back. But that's not the purpose of the weekend. It's a time of remembrance. When we say memorial, the word memorial comes from the root word memory. That's what it's all about, a memory. We are to remember what this day represents. Now, that's a biblical principle, remembering things. I think of the woman at the well in Mark chapter 14. Or not the woman at the well. The woman in Mark chapter 14 that brought the alabaster box, broke it open, took the ointment, and anointed the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that story? And while the disciples were sitting around criticizing, you know, this ointment could have been sold for so much money and given to the poor, Jesus said about that woman, He said, the poor you have all with you always. But this that she has done, wheresoever the gospel is preached, this that she has done will be spoken as a memorial of her. And in our day, in our Bibles, in Mark chapter 14, we open up our Bibles and we read and we are reminded and we remember what she did that day when she anointed the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish people to this day celebrate the Passover. The Passover is on a certain day every year when they remember how the Lord delivered them from Egypt so many thousand years ago. But to this day, they still celebrate the Passover to remember and to remind their children and their children's children of what the Lord did for them so long ago. I just read the story in my Bible this week about Joshua leading the children of Israel into the Promised Land across the River Jordan. And just like Moses parted the Red Sea, Joshua, through God's ability, parted the Jordan River and they walked over into the land of Canaan. But before the waters came back over, Joshua commanded the priests to go back and to take stones and put them in the middle of a river, one for each of the 12 tribes. And they stacked those in the middle of the river, where there where they crossed. So it would be a memorial for them to remember and to teach their children and their children's children what the Lord did for them that day when they walked across on dry land into the Promised Land. Many things are for our memory, for remembrance. The greatest remembrance we have, and now I come back to John 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest remembrance we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, the night that He was betrayed, gathered with His disciples in the upper room, and with them He broke bread. And He gave them bread and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. And He gave them a cup to drink and said, now take and drink, this is the blood of the new covenant that is shed for you. And as He gathered with them in that room, He told them, He said, what you're doing now, I want you to do in remembrance of Me until I come. So that every time you and I, every time we as a church honor the Lord's Supper and eat that bread and drink that cup, it is a memorial of what Jesus Christ did for us. The price that He paid for our salvation, that we might be free. I am, as the song says, proud to be an American. I am thankful I was born in this land and in this country. I'm thankful that my grandfather came over in 1916 from England. came over with his mother and his mother who was just recently widowed, and his sister and his brother, and they came into Canada and crossed from Canada across Windsor into Detroit and settled in that country. And now our family has been raised in this nation. I'm thankful for that. I don't despise England. I don't hate England, but I'm just glad to be an American. I appreciate the freedoms that I have, and I appreciate those that have paid the ultimate price so that I could enjoy these freedoms. But I enjoy a greater freedom than that, and that's a freedom from hell. I'm never going to spend one moment in hell. Say, preacher, you're bragging about how good you are. You're bragging about the life you... No, I'm not bragging about that. There's nothing to brag about there. I'm bragging about Jesus Christ. Because the only reason this old sinner is going into heaven is because greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And 2,000 years ago, on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for me and for you. I think it's despicable. Maybe I'll use the word deplorable. I think it's despicable that a person in this day is not thankful for those that made that ultimate sacrifice. Those that stomp upon the flag, those that burn the flag, those that do anything, that are not thankful for what someone, the price that someone has paid for them. I just can't comprehend that. But even more so, I can't comprehend that Jesus Christ, having gone to that cross and died for our sins, that someone would trample on that. That someone would look at that cross as they look, many look at the American flag, look at that cross and say, I don't need that. I don't need what it represents. I don't need what it means. I don't need what it stands for. I don't need that. I'll make it on my own. Oh, how sad and tragic that's going to be when that day of judgment comes around for them. And they realize that the only way into heaven is through what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. When He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He didn't say, I'm one way. He said, I am the way. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Friends, Jesus Christ laid down His life for you. Jesus Christ died so that you might have freedom. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? I'm thankful you're in this country. I'm thankful you're in a country where we can gather in a church building this morning without any fear of someone coming in the back door and coming in and telling us we can't meet, we can't organize life. I'm thankful for those three, but I'm thankful most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven and came down to this old world, took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And went to Calvary's cross with our sins upon His shoulders. And He died and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you have freedom this morning? Not just the freedom as an American, though we're thankful, but freedom as a believer in Jesus Christ. Free from the judgment of hell. Free from the power of sin. Has the Son made you free? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning we are...